Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hiya, and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper.
Yeah,
if you can tell, I didn't even start with a, you know, hello and welcome. This is managing intern Amy. I'm stepping into very large shoes to make an attempt at things. Lord help us all, and if HR gets involved, you know what to do. But before we do all of that, the man who I think really secretly is in charge of HR is Mr. Spencer Williams.
You don't get involved with HR. It's too much work.
I don't know. It could be secrets. Speaking of secrets, not secrets, we have...
I'm a secret?
So confusing at this
intern
point.
Intern Sarah.
Hi, I'm back again after... The higher ups decided to put me on a temporary leave and only give me coffee runs.
Great. It's great. Coffee runs. But before we, well, do you know what? I should probably do the thing and say we're going to talk about the Oscars today.
Yeah,
right?
We are.
We're talking about the Oscars. But before we get into all that, Spencer, why don't you give them opening credits?
Tune into brand new episodes each and every week. Now on all your favorite streaming platforms and over on our website at filmlosophers.com. Also, connect with us on our social pages at facebook.com/filmlosophers, on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at filmlosophy101. Also, we are on Blue Sky at Filmlosophers Podcast.
That's right. We have a website, and I believe it's thefilmlosophers.com, because sometimes I pay attention to this opening monologue.
It's just filmlosophers.com.
I think it's someone else.
I said it a second ago.
But you can, go there, see all of our 400 plus, either is not allegedly, there is 400 plus episodes. And you can also tune in wherever podcasts are streaming. That is iTunes, Libsyn, Player FM, Audioboom, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, and iHeart. You can tune into your heart's desire to any one of those streaming platforms. Give us a listen, give us a follow, a heart, a star, shiny.
Give us a 5-star review. We've earned it.
We have.
Yes.
Yes, please. We'll give you the rest of the social links at the end of the episode.
Guess what? Oh, we made it through the opening, people.
We can do this
by ourselves.
Okay, if you can't tell, sorry about busting out your eardrums, guys. Eddie is away for the evening, and Supreme host Spencer allows me to take the lead chair on this one. But we are talking about the Oscars tonight. And before we get into that, I know somebody wanted to either do some movie news or something. We don't know where the button is for movies.
Don't worry, I'll put it in post.
Yay! Intern duties.
No, Sarah, you have to put the sound around here, okay?
Okay. If I listen to this, it's not
there. It's just going to be in that end of my voice.
I actually kind of like that. We might need to keep that in. But before we get to all that, today, at the time of recording, there was a release of one brand new shiny trailer from Disney, Marvel, and Sony Pictures, however many people they want to attach to this one. It's Spider-Man Brand New Day. We all got a chance to see the trailer.
Yes. Sorry, I was going to make a Dr. Horrible reference, but I stopped myself.
No, please don't. And needless to say, there is quite a bit of things happening in this upcoming film. It's released this summer, huh?
Yeah.
July 21st, I think.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
It's too soon. I'm not ready.
Also, just weird that, like, normally, well, I know this is like a Sony production, but I guess I've gotten used to Disney throwing out trailers way too far into advance, that them putting out a trailer at a reasonable distance is like, why so late? What's happening?
Exactly. There's been like the leaked pictures and stuff, and him like waving at children, and that's been it. And we're like, you sure you Spider-Man? You sure?
Because we also have Doomsday coming up too, so they're like kind of spacing, because they have for TV they have Daredevil, and for season two then they have Spider-Man, then they have Doomsday. I don't know if there's another series coming out this year for them.
I don't know. Because
we already had Wonder Man.
We have Wonder Man, which but there should good. Be there should be Vision Quest that's still.
Oh
on
yeah,
the
yeah, yeah,
as
Vision
well.
Quest. Yeah, I just looked that up the other day too. I was just like, are we still on track for this or what?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows currently. But how do we feel when we saw it?
Okay, well, first I have to talk about the thing that happened before the trailer came out yesterday.
Wait,
so the trailer came out today?
Okay,
at the time of recording, the day before, they have like a promotional video with Tom Holland. You know, thanking everyone and all the fans and being about community, blah, 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 blah. All that like PR stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. But what was interesting about this video is he's like, so we've partnered with like a few people, a few of the fans. Mm-hmm. And like they're going to be releasing snippets of the trailer.
They're
going to. So it was internet
what?
Scavenger hunt.
No.
They threw it into the window like we're dropping it tomorrow, but we'll just like throw pieces.
Yeah, pieces, because like one person found like, you know, Peter in the coffee shop and Ned comes in and like that was the section they had. And so.
I
was fan
odd.
Number one. I got Peter and Ned in the coffee shop. I'm fan number two. I have the still frame where you can tell the CGI of the. It was really poorly done.
We should also mention that if you haven't had the opportunity, the opportunity or chance to go watch the trailer, please pause right here. Go do it. We could insert some little like
I'll blur myself out,
like music or something.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, just put elevator music from files.
There
out.
Are zero edits.
She listens to the entire thing while she does the edits.
Yeah, I know you do.
But yeah, so. Essentially, what you're saying is, in the spirit of community and being confused, there were influencers that were given chunks of this trailer to release at the same time.
I don't know. It was kind of like a trailer scavenger hunt, for lack of a better term, because a bunch of people had different parts of it. I don't know if they released the whole thing or just like parts of like the opening, because we're talking about like maybe a second or two of footage.
A second or two of
where are you in the game from that? I need you to locate this specific issue, and then literally you just go. I get Ned in the like it. Still, it's footage, but still, I get Ned and Peter in the coffee shop.
I have the one where he's swinging or standing on top of the tank with the thwip thwip. Like,
yeah, and so where like we knew the trailer was coming out the next day, so I was like, I'll just come back tomorrow for that.
That's a good choice.
It got people talking about it, which I guess is good because you're like slowly building up things. But that was how this started for me, at least.
At least you even knew that was happening, because I had no idea. And today when I saw like my email just lit up with like Spider-Man brand new day trailer. And I was like, oh, I haven't been on socials all day, so this is good to stay away. Thank you, Senior Internet. But
I was scrolling through stories and... Have they been dubbed other intern? One of the other interns. Mm. We'll say nameless, because you'll guess which one.
Nameless intern.
Nameless intern. Don't worry, we love you. Sort of.
wow. I didn't know there's
such
division
they're listening.
In the intern ranks.
One of the interns, my favorite intern, we won't say.
It's yourself.
It's myself. They put on their story that they're a bit worried about it, but they're very excited. And then, like, their speculations, but, like, no offense to you, other intern. I didn't really read your stuff, because... But I'm excited for I'm excited to see, like, what this movie has. It's the fourth movie in... Because no longer a trilogy. And where based... But that was a lot loud back. Sarah, edit that out.
Stop yelling at yourself to edit things out.
I won't remember.
I know, but now it's going to slow down your own pacing of the episode.
Of me talking, yeah.
Yeah, and also you're just going to be cut happy. So
we deserve to be heard in full.
Exactly.
Some parts, no. Some parts, no.
Well, this I can honestly say is we are wading cautiously into these waters a la Trailers Lie. We need to make shirts. I have been a big proponent of that. Trailers Live.
Merch.
But come summer, we will definitely be finding out how this spider and his community, or lack thereof, takes on the brand new day that awaits him.
Oh, wait, does it come out same month as, because blockbuster season, Yeah. Does it come out same month as Odyssey?
Yes.
Oh, wait, isn't Tom Holland in that one too?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, yes? It's a double feature.
He is. Oh no, no, we're not. No.
It's the summer of Tom, the lizard from Hoppers. You should listen to that episode. It was really good. I added that one too.
Well, speaking of editing that one too, I guess I didn't have a really good segue. I'm so sorry. We're going to be talking about and doing our review slash look back at the 2026 Oscars. So I'm going to be brutally honest. It's also known as the Academy Awards, if it isn't the Oscars. And all of this time, even as a managing intern, I have never sat down to watch the actual ceremony ever, ever. But guess what? This time it was my first. And I got feelings. I need to talk about this. But before all that, Spencer, would you mind getting into that not really official, we're going to lie and pretend like it's an official synopsis goodness?
Sure. The 98th Academy Awards, held on March 15th, 2026 at the Dolby Theater, hosted by Conan O'Brien, the ceremony was a mix of long-awaited career milestones and historic firsts.
Yes, because there's technically no official synopsis goodness.
It's an award ceremony.
It's an award ceremony.
You got the idea.
People showed up. People were nominated. People paid money that you would go and vote for them that were a part of a super cool guy club? Question mark. But yeah, we're going to dig into this a little bit. We're going to talk about some nominees, how the night kind of went, our feelings, our not feelings. Yeah, so let's start out. So as I stated, this was the first time I actually sat down and watched. I even watched it live. That is questionable. That is questionable.
Okay. I have to talk to you about this. How long was it? I did not watch it.
3.5 hours.
Yeah. See, and that's why I did not watch it.
And that was with commercials.
Ew, absolutely.
I was at work.
No.
I bypassed it.
Okay, don't rub it in.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm the type of person where I'm like, maybe award things should be like an email or something.
Yeah,
it's really hard.
Call.
Like, there's performances, and I did like watch those after the fact. But like, I'm good.
Okay, so you didn't see it this year?
No.
Okay.
Sarah? Oh yes, I watched it this year,
but not live. You just gloated about being at work.
Yeah, even though I probably would have much enjoyed watching it live than working, I digress.
But so you were able to fast forward, do the thing, make it shorter. Perfect. Yeah. I love that for you.
Yeah.
Keep on keeping on.
Yay.
So while we tackle this one, just kind of a heads up in case you weren't paying attention to it, it's totally okay. Ryan Coogler Sinners set a record at 16 nominations, the most in Oscar history.
Wow.
Followed up with One Battle After Another by Paul Thomas Anderson at 13 nominations. And then they apparently had also included a new category called Best Casting, i.e. the casting directors were getting mad props and shout outs and now earn Oscars, which it's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
And horror still does not have a genre. or anything to that effect. But it did have Marty Supreme. Nine nominations. Sentimental Value had 9 nominations. Frankenstein had some good nods as well. And there was a very large collection of other nominations, not just including Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actor and Actress, Best VFX. I say words. Goodish.
Yes.
Best International Film, Best Animation, Best Original Score, Best Song. If you are interested in finding the full list of nominations, please go ahead and use the interwebs.
And BBC has a list.
Also, the Oscars has their own website with a list.
Yeah. See, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences is supporting you in all things with their shiny little gold man. but I definitely wanted to talk about some of do we want to talk about like the little bits that happened first, or do we want to talk about like our highlights? People that won.
If there are bits you want to talk about, you might have to take the lead on that because I only saw like Conan's intro and part of the Sinner song.
Okay, so there was Conan's intro,
yes,
which was very late night monologue. Like I'm, it sounds bad. Billy Crystal used to come out with a song. I'm used to Tonys. Does that make me a bad human?
No.
No.
Okay.
They're very different awards. They should have different vibes.
I mean, Neil Patrick Harris And like so many people singing and dancing. And then when Billy Crystal used to host, it was always a production. So I don't know. This is not a dig at Conan. I like Conan O'Brien. Mm-hmm. He is a good gentleman.
Yes.
I was just like, okay, okay.
I enjoyed the open because the having him being sitting in the chair, getting his like all his makeup done, and then the reveal that he's
wait, Spencer, did you see the opening shtick or just the opening monologue?
No, the opening shtick.
Okay, good, yes. Good. Then we can talk about that. The opening monologue, I was like, eh. The opening shtick. Go for
opening
it.
Schnick at Schnick. Saturday Night Nick.
Yes, Nick.
I really much enjoyed because even though, despite what I said on our episode reviewing Weapons, it was like a delightful tee-hee that he was dressed as Gladys and having all those children run after him. And I enjoy for like award ceremonies, like nods and references to things I like have a nomination for. Like, I enjoy those types of things because I'm like, it's not like me going, it's a tee-hee, I get that reference.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not me being like, you're missing, enter this. It's, I like seeing people being creative in this day and age of people relying on AI. I appreciate actual human beings putting care and consideration into their work.
Yes.
And especially in something as simple and like still has its place within it as an opening on why you should watch it. Here's the things that have yet to come. Like, I like it. It's nice.
I will admit, I was surprised that when he just showed up, he was Aunt Gladys. I was like, I didn't think, I knew that they were up for awards, but I didn't think the Academy would be like, you know, like, oh, let's have them like as part of a thing. Because I kind of thought they were like, yeah, that's kind of horror-esque. We'll put it in the background. But no, front and center. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
And I think because also, and again, I'm the odd woman out at the table because I didn't see Weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Which both you guys did, so you can speak more to like not just the design of Conan's makeup, but also the way that he was just aggressively chased.
I mean, that's pretty much the movie.
Yeah, it was on point.
That was the entire movie, just chased by children.
It was like the last 5 minutes.
Okay.
Like, but they put good, they put good music to it. I'm just saying.
Sabotage. Pretty good.
We're just making a call back to the Kelvin universe. And we're like, love you, Star Trek. We know you're around here too. And the Beastie Boys. So yeah, that was the opening shtick. And then we did get, if we're looking at bits, we had the performance of I Lied to You by not only the cast of Sinners, but a cornucopia of amazing artists. And you said, Spencer, you only saw a little bit of it.
Yes.
Oh. Sorry. So you didn't see Remick trying to get back in?
Oh, no, I didn't.
No!
So, needless to say, this, I know that there's been people that were, you know, very outspoken about particular films not being able to make a stage transition. And this performance was kind of like, Sinners could totally take on a stage adaptation and it would rock so hard, my guys. So hard.
Yeah, like they did. Like, so like when I knew they were gonna perform, I thought, because I knew it was gonna be that song, I was like, that seems like that's gonna be a hard transition, because especially during the movie, like you're dealing with, like, even though it's one song, it's multiple different almost genres going at the same time, and that sounds like it's very easy for that to be a train wreck if it's not mixed properly. And I like the sound people, I will always shout out sound people, like I am a novice sound person. So they did a phenomenal job
in there were some other spots in the show that I can say by like listening to it, they dropped the ball. They were worried. So for the actual like the bits that were in there, especially for the music, it was choice. They had some issues with like presenters, with somebody kept turning on, essentially when, you know, give them the hook, get them off stage, turning up the music really loud to cut off a whole bunch of people.
Then they turned off the lights.
And then they turned off the lights in the spot, and Conan would have to tell them to turn back on the spot.
Oh,
like,
no.
It was intense.
It was also really awkward because when it came to
and
that.
And this was not a bit. We should not. We should also put in, even though we're talking about like the sticks in the bit, this was not a bit. Like, legitimately, they had a raising and lowering microphone, Spencer. Uh-huh. And at one point, the light turned off and the microphone lowered while the guy was talking. And they had turned the spot back on Conan. And Conan's like standing there and they'd pan to him and he's like, go back to the guy. And they raised it back up so the guy could finish talking and turn back on the light. Like, it was nuts.
Wow.
Yeah. That was not a shtick or a bit.
The other fun thing was the first time they had the music going was for also context, they had he's the CEO or he's the founder.
The CEO of Netflix is in the audience.
No, Ted Sarandos.
Yeah. They brought it up and just like
he was in the front row.
Yeah, he was in the very front. Which
was just like stage left, front row, and we're all like, sir, why are you here? Like
K-pop Demon Hunters, that's what
I know. And before we jump over to K-pop Demon Hunters with what they had to do for the night, because you didn't find out about that one.
I know they were on the stage.
They did an actual performance. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to shout out to the Sinners performance before we hop out. One Misty Copeland, who she's the first African-American principal ballet dancer for the American Ballet Company. So in the movie, she had hip surgery and wasn't able to perform the ballet dancer part in the actual movie. So the costume and the person who was representing her in the film was very symbolic of one of her first performances, which was the Firebird, which is, we go into the Vivaldi, and there's this, again, opera, ballet. We're going to talk about that later. But Misty Copeland actually showed up and was dancing on stage in this performance. And I was like, yes.
Well, that's really cool, though.
Yes. Yes. And smearing in people's faces. And she looked amazing. She danced absolutely great. And then the other person I wanted to shout out was one of my favorite bands, singers. Her name is Brittany Howard. She's the lead singer of Alabama Shakes. And she was on stage and she was singing and playing guitar inside of all of that. And I was like, yes, oh my gosh, my people, I love you so much. And it was just, yeah, it was such a celebration. And yeah, I feel this thing could totally transition on stage without any problem.
Oh yeah. It was so well built and still carries that if they have like any type of stage adaptation, it will not. I've lost all words. It would do very good. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, limited locations, like it's like majority of it takes place in that barn. So, you know, it plus there's not a whole bunch of like CGI. So it seems like it'd be pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
Just have to figure out how you're setting the band on fire safely at the end.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Okay, that would be a fun one. We'll table that for later. but not tabled for later was the other musical performance of the night, which was actually K-pop Demon Hunters. Mm-hmm. We did see the ladies from Huntrix come out and actually perform Golden. It got even to someone gave them all light wands in the seating. So literally it looks like a K-pop concert, which is great.
Oh.
They got their groove on, and I think it helped. It didn't help, but I think it kind of capped off the night when they did actually end up winning for best song. Mm. So Golden won. They did the performance, and then EJ, who was the writer, and she's also the voice of Rumi.
Singing voice for Rumi.
She was also the speaking voice.
I saw on... I'll fact check myself later on, but...
No, just... You can do the googly double check. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It's okay. I'm fine with being wrong. But she had part of her outfit for the night actually was, it felt like a shout out to Rumi in and of itself, which was her jacket. And she was just so excited. And I was so excited for them as well. Because earlier in the night, K-pop Demon Hunters also took home the Oscar for Best Animated Feature. And I am not mad at that.
I have not seen it yet.
Spencer!
It's on my to-do list. We have a lot of movies we watch.
Spencer.
Remember, managing intern. We were the ones who did the episode.
Yeah, it was an intern. It was an intern's file. And I was just like, sleeper, this is exciting and wonderful and lovely. And yeah. Okay, so I guess we're having a forcible watch party.
A forcible watch party.
Forcible watch party.
We'll make it all themed. And then I googled it. It's EJ's only singing voice. Arden Cho is the
thanks Arden voice. Cho. Sorry,
I only knew that Fran. Because I was just like, I thought my brain's like, oh no, it's one voice actor. No, two different ones because they did a Hot Ones versus. It was the speaking cast versus singing cast.
Okay, Spencer, don't pay attention to any of those. You need to watch this movie now. So they did win for best animated feature. And then a little more of the shticks in here. It seemed to be the year of everybody's anniversary, which was entertaining. So we had Avengers, the first Avengers movie. It was their 14-year anniversary. So Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans came out and did present the award for best, was it original screen?
Might have been original screenplay.
Which Ryan Coogler won, which I'm so excited to say that it was really nice to have Iron Man and Captain America give the director of Black Panther an Oscar. And I was like, yes, yes. keep going, friends. We also had the 20-year anniversary of Bridesmaids.
Yeah, because they came out to present for sound design.
And sound, yeah. And best original score. It was score and sound design, I think.
It might have been. I would like to bring up, since you brought up who won for the animated features, that Will Arnett and, oh my gosh, why I blank? Channing Tatum. I'm so sorry.
Potatoes.
Which he was brought up in the bit with Robert Downey Jr. And Chris Evans.
Yes. Apparently, Chris Evans had bought Robert Downey Jr. an anniversary gift. Robert didn't have one. He went backstage and acquired a sparkly magic mic thong to give to Chris Evans. And Channing Tatum was like, man, I need that back. He's like, why do you need this bag? He's like, I gotta work tonight, man. I gotta work. And so they panned. It was lowbrow.
But Lego Batman and Lego Superman was the highlight because of them talking for in both animated feature film and then animated short. I liked them. And Elio was up for the Oscar too. So I was really glad that Pixar still has like their foot and still is represented for the Academy. And I'm really hoping, Pixar, you got this, guys.
Listen, I think Disney just needs to learn to back off.
Just back off. Hoppers was great.
You heard it there first. So we also ended up having for the bridesmaid shtick, they were all in a line where this is one of the areas we saw the worst audio. They were given notes, air quotes, from backstage about how they were doing, and it was supposed
from people in the audience
to create banter, and it was a little like, okay, like the shtick, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 they had five people up, so they had Melissa McCartney, Rose Byrne, Rose Byrne, Kristen Wiig. Oh my gosh, I just went to go, I'm your mother.
Maya Rudolph.
Thank you. Sorry, have you not seen the I'm Your Mother?
I've not seen Bridesmaid.
Wow. Okay, so
That was a very different time for me.
Don't worry, I haven't seen it either.
And Ellie Kemper rounding out Aaron from The Office. So there were five people, they were all trying to be a part of a shtick. It felt a little forced, but they were celebrating an anniversary. Then we also had the anniversary for Moulin Rouge.
Oh.
So Best Picture was actually presented by Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman. And
we come to movies.
Yes. We come to this place.
And we don't have that place in
town. I know. I just wanted to say it.
But Ewan McGregor did also start singing. So all of us were like, yeah. But yeah, it seemed to be the celebration of, oh, it's everybody's anniversary, so we're going to tie those into shticks. And to be honest, you would have been like, we could fast forward for this.
See?
But there was a segment of this show that didn't really deserve to be skipped. And I haven't seen a lot of people talking about it, which is the In Memoriam section.
I've heard someone talk about it.
Who was talking about it?
I want to hear from you before.
It's not good, though.
What did you hear?
I heard from, so, separate of the Oscars, there is something else called the Game Awards for video games.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's ran by a man named Jeff Keighley.
Yeah. Like,
he's around the industry, all that jazz. He went off about that segment because his dad had something to do with like pioneering IMAX or something. Mm-hmm. And like, he was not part of the In Memoriam because apparently he died last year.
Oh.
But like, he got put on the website. Like, there's a massive list of people who died last year. So he was mad about that. And like, I feel like it kind of worked out in his own favor because he got a lot of people to actually learn about his dad. So.
Yeah.
I've only heard a complaint about it.
No, that's totally merited because I know the In Memoriam, there was a lot of actors. Hmm. There was a couple producers and the co-founder of Pixar was on there as well. But they had broken it up so they started the In Memoriam with Billy Crystal coming out and giving a tribute essentially to Rob Reiner. Mm. And he finished with saying, "Buddy, I just want to tell you we had fun storming the castle." And they lifted the scrim, which was separating the stage, and out walked roughly two people from or more from every one of Rob Reiner's films. Oh. So Will Wheaton was there. And Carrie Ewells and Carol Shelley. I must say Carol Channing, and I was like, nope. Not her. And Mandy Patinkin and John Cusack, and it was really nice. And then they turned around and they started the In Memoriam, and it was going through. And then about halfway through, we had Rachel McAdams, who actually came out to speak about Diane Keaton. And she said something that really kind of, like, it was probably one of, to follow up after Billy Crystal. It was a really, really good, like, it was very heartfelt. And she brought up a Girl Scout song that Diane Keaton had said, like, she would sing while she was on set. And it was, Sarah, do you remember it?
No, I do not. I was making sure.
You didn't Google for me?
No, because I was also going to bring up that they, in the same segment for Rob Reiner, they brought up Michelle Singer, making sure that she was not forgotten either. Did. And I appreciated that because as much like Rob Reiner and Michelle Singer both are instrumental in history. And you like it's not really you can't have one without the other. But they were such a power force that both of them are sorely missed.
And so the commonly sung lyrics that Rachel McAdams said was, "Make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver and the other gold. A circle is round. It has no end. That's how long I will be your friend." Aww. And we were like, oh, like everybody was like, oh, Girl Scouts. Oh, yes, let's go. And then they continued with the memoriam and they put Robert Redford at the end and Barbara Streisand came out. And her audio was terrible. Ugh. And she's, you know, she's getting older. Sorry, Babs. And she talked really lovingly about him and how their relationship. And then they finished the In Memoriam with her singing a very small part of the song from the movie that they were in. I think it's The Way We Were. And then that was the In Memoriam. But they literally had on the bottom and a bottom third that said, "To see all of the people that we lost this year, please visit our website." And so now that makes sense why I would be mad too if a literal pioneer of something that the Odyssey is going to literally be Dune. And you're like, website. Go to the website, friend. That's how we remember you.
But like, I agree. But like, when I went to the website, I'm like, oh man, a lot of people died last year. It's a very long list. I'm like, oh no.
Just death and mayhem.
Yeah. It's very unfortunate.
So, wow. Yeah, so that kind of, I don't think ranted out the bits or the shticks, but that's pretty much what was happening. And in the in-between, we did have we had all the presentation of the awards. It started out the night with the Best Supporting Actress, which went to one...
Amy Madigan of Weapons.
Who ended up literally, because she's married to, I almost said Ed Sullivan. That's not his name, is it?
Nope.
No, he's an Ed. Come on, you can do it.
He's an Ed. His name's not, last name's not Sullivan.
You can do it. Come on.
No, this is why we trigger the intern.
It is his
Ed
name.
Harris. It's Elmont. I did it.
This is why we trigger the intern. Me putting it to my search history. No, my God, it's fine.
But Ed Harris, who literally looked at her when her name got called, because she did not expect to win at all. And he was like, I know you could do it, babe. And she got up there and she's literally totally flustered. It's the opening person accepting the award. And she's like, well, and she just starts laughing. And it was so great. She's like, I was in the shower thinking about it, shaving my legs this night. She's like, and I'm in pants. So yeah, I don't know who I'm going to thank. Like, it was one of the purest, and it wasn't full chaos, but she was getting close. And I was like, yes, this is Amy energy. I don't know, but I love you. So she was our first win of the night. And then we had it followed up with, I think it was Best Supporting Male, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I should be paying attention, but I'm not.
I'm scrolling through the BBC list, not going to lie.
Thanks, BBC list, because you're doing something. Best Supporting Act. No, he was later on Best Supporting Actor in a role. Went to Sean Penn, who wasn't there. Huh. And
Kieran Culkin was just like, hey, guys. He was presenting it. He goes, and okay. Sean Penn isn't here, so I will be making sure it gets to him. Good night.
Yeah, he isn't here or didn't want to be here, and I'm accepting the word. We're like, so that happened. That was cool.
Interesting.
Yes, we had we already talked about who won for Best Animated Feature. We also had everything goes for like Best Picture at the top, Best Actress, Best Actor. I was like, yes. Those were the end of the show, not at the beginning of the show, and then they scramble everything in the middle. Best original.
You can go in whatever order you feel like.
So then we talked about Ryan Coogler winning for Sinners for Best Original. Best Adapted was Paul Thomas Anderson for One Battle After Another.
Best Adapted?
Yes.
It's a book?
Apparently.
Oh.
Because he was also up against Begonia, Guillermo's Frankenstein, Hamnet, and Train Dreams. And I was like, what? Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yes. Makeup and hairstyle went to Frankenstein. Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
Costume design went to Frankenstein as well. Needless to say, Guillermo was so excited about his creative team actually like getting honored. I was like, yes. He was like hugging all of them. They're like, thank you, Guillermo. And I was like, he loves you people. Just accept it. Just let him love you.
Oh, yeah. I remember thinking out about Guillermo at the thing where like he was trying to start a standing ovation or something for Best Animated.
Which was K-Pop Demon Hunters. Yeah. He was standing up and cheering and like clapping and nobody stood up. And it was, we're like, wow, that happened.
But I love that man. He seriously loves like art.
he loves art. He loves seeing people that are passionate. He gets so excited. And I'm just like, yes, sir. Like, yes, let's just hang out around you. Like when you get excited, because we want to share in that joy.
Yeah, we need more people with that energy.
Yeah, 100%. Frankenstein also took home the award for achievement in production design. Hey, which we knew.
I saw that movie. I'm like, yeah, this one's going to win a lot.
Yes. So we also ended up having that interesting, while we're talking about effects, because production design and effects, visual effects, went to Avatar Fire and Ice. Ash and Fire, Fire and Shenanigans.
Fire and Ice.
It could be. The one thing I did want to mention is the people that came out actually to present that award were Sigourney Weaver and Pedro Pascal. And
Was one of the bits we didn't bring up.
Oh, we didn't bring it up. But Spencer, I think, I don't know if you could Google the picture of Pedro Pascal for the Oscars. Because I need some support. And I looked at this man and I went, why does this look like you're a teenager in the 90s, babe? Like, in a good way.
He was in Buffy.
I know. But literally, like, do you have his picture up?
With that little, like,
with the flower. But look
that's a big flower.
I know, but look at his, how clean, he's clean shaven.
Yeah, it's very.
He looks like a baby.
Yeah, he does remind me of that like brief thing he was in Buffy for.
Yes, but he looks like he's literally in the 90s and he hasn't aged and he's still a teenager. And I'm like, possible vampire? Maybe. It could happen.
But yeah, that like light amount of scruff does a lot for his age.
Exactly. It's so unexpected. And I saw him clean shaven and I was just like, are we sure this is Pedro, right? this is him.
Who's gotten to him?
They made him all clean shaven. So they did come out and present the award for Avatar Fire and Ash for best VFX. We also ended up having the best achievement in casting, which was very, very, very interesting, went to the casting director of One Battle After Another. We had best live action short film, which was a tie, which was a hit, another historic, not first, but a very historic thing. It had only happened, I think it's happened only 4 or 5 times in the entire like history of the Academy Awards. And it went to, the first one went to The Singers, which was a short film about singers, not that are just buskers, who are people that sing on the street corners, but also the influencers or the TikTokers whose singing career has kind of been started in those places.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was called Two People Exchanging Saliva.
I saw that in the list and I was like, that seems like that might
be an interesting one.
A very interesting title.
Indeed. Best animated short film actually went to a puppet animated short film called The Girl Who Cried Pearls. I'm curious to wonder and wondering if that's based on the fairy tale that went along with it.
Mm.
Could be not. I don't know. Best documentary short film was All the Empty Rooms, which the documentarian and his team actually brought one of the mothers of the children. They went to 4 different children who had died in gun violence at their schools and had brought the mother of one of the children to the Oscars. And she actually read about her daughter who was featured in the film. And she's a parent from Uvalde. And so she spoke about her daughter in their acceptance, mm-hmm. Which was like, I started crying, not going to lie. And then we also...
That's super generous, though.
Yeah. Well, and I think they also recognized the awareness that they wanted to bring for not just the families, but the impact. The director had mentioned that they wanted to bring forward to better understand and to make people realize how many empty rooms there really are. And
seeing them.
Yeah. And it's not just another name on paper. These children were people with futures and they were taken away and the government hasn't done anything to stop like any of it.
Yeah.
Best documentary feature was Mr. Nobody Against Putin, which that one, the director came through and he's like, our film is about what happens when how you lose your nation piece by piece when you're complicit. And I was like, sir, yeah. Sir, ooh, what? So definitely one to look up. The achievement in sound went to F1. So that was cool.
Room.
But best score, Spencer, I think you might have an idea who won best score, even if you didn't happen to watch the show.
Yes, it's of course the man, the legend. It's Ludwig Göransson for Sitters, which I'm like it's a bop. I've been listening to it for months. Like, of course he won.
Yeah, and I was with Alexandre Desplat for Frankenstein, which is
he always does like a pretty good, decent score too.
Right, and then Max Richter was for Hamnet, and I was like, oh no. Like Max Richter on The Nature of Daylight, like he breaks us, people. Like, I don't know how we handle this, but I can honestly say they really did pick the one we all needed
mm-hmm.
the most for original score. And then achievement, so film editing, One Battle After Another one. A historic no joke first went to Sinners for the Oscar for cinematography. And the reason why this is a historic first, no joke, no rigmarole. I do not remember her last name.
Arkapow.
You going to do the whole one?
Autumn Dillard. I apologize if I mispronounce your middle name, ma'am. Arkapow.
Who is a cinematographer on Sinners. She is the first woman to win the Oscar.
Oh,
yeah.
That's crazy.
98 years. Which, if you didn't get the opportunity to see what happens, she wins, goes up on stage, and when she accepts the Oscar, the first thing she asks, and she calls out her son's name. Ryan Coogler ran to the back of the theater, got him from his grandparents, and carried that kiddo down to his mom's seat to sit next to his dad so that he could see his mom win the Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, Ryan.
No, he gets it.
Ryan. Ryan, you get this. Which was probably is a great highlight of the night. And yeah, she won, kicked a whole bunch of folks' teeth in. It was phenomenal. Okay, and then I'm going to really wrap as quickly as possible for this because I've been dragging on and I'm talking a lot. And I'm so sorry. Best International Film went to Sentimental Value out of Norway. Apparently, they have had 7 nominations, and I don't know if this was in 98 years or if it was just for this season, but it had, as intern Sarah affectionately dubbed him, Papa Skarsgård, and Elle Fanning. But they did win, and then we already said animated was K-pop Demon Hunters. The directing achievement went to Paul Thomas Anderson for One Battle After Another. And then, of course, and this sounds really terrible, that also meant Best Picture went to One Battle After Another. I have feelings about that. Best Performance by a actress in a lead performance.
Whoa. Let's talk about Best Picture then.
I know. It's usually like the big one at the end. But I was just like, as soon as I heard who got Best Director, I was like, there, you've already done. Things. I feel angry.
Okay, well, why do you feel angry about this?
Let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Let's unpack this. Do you want to unpack this?
Let me unpack this. The only couple of movies on the Best Picture list had I seen, and it was mainly I had only seen Sinners and
which I think at that point had also been enough. Really, and I don't, and I'm not a Paul Thomas Anderson hater. Mm-hmm. I need to establish that. But for Best Picture, we had F1. Begonia, Frankenstein, Hamnet, Marty Supreme, The Secret Agent, which was also up for Best International, Sentimental Value, which was up for Best International, and Train Dreams, and I did say Sinners. That was a pretty, even with Marty Supreme in there, I have feelings about that. Either way, this was a really stacked list.
Yeah.
Where we're looking at some brilliant, brilliant movies. Did I like honestly believe that, you know, Frankenstein was going to beat out the beautiful and, as I have been told, like literally heart tearing out of your chest nature of Hamnet? No, but Sinners came out early in the year. It put in, it's like, hey guys, we're here. Hello. And people are like, I'm sorry. Why are you not in the middle of the summer? Why did you not get more fanfare? And it's like One Battle After Another. And I'm like, why? Why?
Like, I did like One Battle After Another. Mm-hmm. But I feel like for Best Picture,
yes.
I don't know if I really vibe with that, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to sound really messed up in this. Every time people were saying Paul Thomas Anderson, I was under the assumption, and I apologize, Mr. Paul W.S. Anderson. I thought you guys were the same person. I was just like, maybe I can slightly back them winning. No, I can't. I enjoyed Event Horizon.
No.
That was my whole, like, okay, I can maybe, like, someone be like, cool, thumbs up. But, like, out of this entire
mind show. You, we should also preface, have you seen One Battle After? You haven't seen One Battle
No,
After?
I have not.
Okay. So this is you coming from what you've experienced in the memes, in the
memes
clips,
and kind of just
trailers.
Dodging. But for this entire show, if you went in just with like, oh, I haven't seen, like, if you showed just the montage for Best Picture, out of all those movies besides Sinners, one of the movies I have not seen and I'm very interested in seeing just because of the color palette and how it was shot and the cinematography, because I don't know if they were up for it, was Train Dreams that's on Netflix.
They were up for Best Picture.
They were up for Best Picture. I don't know if they were up for cinematography.
Oh.
Because I, as a...
Your BBC list would help with that.
I put it down because I'm kind of in the sauce.
They were.
Hey, there you go. So good. Because all the clips I was seeing for that, as a person whose current study is film and appreciation of it, it looked really pretty. And I'm very interested to see what the movie's about. Especially with they were also in the category for Best Original Song, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look like, oh, it looks subpar. It looks actually worth investing, in my opinion.
Oh.
I love the Oscars with a, I should check out that movie.
Yeah, and I think when it came for me to One Battle After Another, in talking with Eddie, who I think this is the second time we've said his name the entire episode, so we're doing great. I was talking to them, and I'm like, it's just one big chase movie. From start to finish, it is literally, we are just running. And I'm like, I don't know if that was enough to keep me, like, to make me want to continue to live in this world. And I think, as I have been managing intern manager, and even when I was a wee intern, just a wee one, the exploration not only of movies, but the invitation to live inside those universes and those worlds have been so prevalent that I don't want to go back to visit One Battle After Another. I want to go back and visit Sinners. Want to go. I'm even willing to go F1. I haven't seen that. But there's something about these films where when you are immersed in the world, the opportunity or the delight to go revisit them should be at the forefront of your mind. And really when it came down to it, on that list, mind you, I haven't seen Begonia. I know Hamnet's going to ruin me and it'll be a once in a blue moon thing. I haven't seen F1 or Train Dreams. I wanted to go back. I keep wanting to watch Frankenstein and I keep wanting to watch Sinners.
Yeah.
And so when they're like, oh, One Battle After Another one. And again, this is not a shot at the actors. This is not a shot at the cinematography or the color. It just wasn't 100% my cup of tea, and I didn't feel that it was the one that should have won. A la if something had won other than Everything Everywhere All at Once. And you see me looking at you, Spencer, because you know I'm right about
that. Yeah, you are, because like I would have like, pitchforks, burn!
Exactly. And the thing is that Sinners graciously did not win all of the categories. Like, Delroy Lindo was up for Best Supporting Male, and he got beat out by Sean Penn. And Sean Penn wasn't bad in One Battle After Another, but I was like, you did not. Benicio del Toro in One Battle After Another was fantastic.
Okay, so let's shift over here. Because that was the thing about the supporting actor role. I was like, I would have given it to Benicio over Sean Penn. I was like, that's a very unusual choice to me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I knew it was a long shot, but I was always like secretly hoping that like Jacob Elordi for Frankenstein, because I was like, he was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a lot of good choices in this list.
Yeah.
Not that I feel like Sean Penn did anything wrong, but he's kind of at the bottom of my list, to be fair.
Which I 100% agree with, because that was one of the harder ones to actually look at and be like, okay, you know, Best Supporting, you know, Actor. And then you're like, oh, okay. And then when Sean Penn's winning, I was like, but Benicio, guys.
He was in there and he was having a lot of crowd interaction.
Like, but also even in the film, when you get to see it, Sarah, you will be very excited, because he was the highlight for me of that entire movie.
He was also in that movie longer than I thought he was going to be.
Right?
And he was great.
Oh, he was so good. And I was like, and you were just like, Sean Penn. And I was like, oh.
But he's not even there.
He chose not to be there. But good job, Kieran Culkin. Get you another one of those.
We've avoided one category.
We've technically avoided two. So the first one that I avoided was Best Actress in a Leading Role, which went to Jessie Buckley for Hamnet. She swept. And I think that says something consistently. If she has shown up to every award season or ceremony and she is the one to beat. And I ain't mad at that. I loved that for her. So I was like, yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, whatever you want to do, let's go. Also, she is in Maggie Gyllenhaal's The Bride, which hopefully we will be doing a review of soon-ish. Or we're working on it. But I think I wanted to kind of end this out with the winner of Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role went to Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, let's go.
If there was any justice in the world, it was this man winning this award. There is no way. I honestly could not see anybody else winning this. Could you?
I did not see Blue Moon or what Ethan Hawke did in that, or The Secret Agent. So, like, we have to push those two people to the side. Oh, and I didn't see Marty Super.
Let's be honest, Marty Supreme at this moment, Timothy Chalamet is on everyone's list.
All I know is the opening. It's like the opening has become such a meme of just already trashing the movie. The only things I know about the movie is Ping Pong, a musician named Tyler the Creator, who's very honest about how he feels. It's just like, a lot of people in this movie are dumb, but that's what's cool about watching it. They're dumb and they don't make good decisions. I'm in here too. I'm kind of chill. But the people are dumb. And then the opening scene is basically you're watching someone get pregnant and you're watching them swim through. Yeah. And every single time I see it, I'm like, I don't want to.
Best picture? Question mark?
A24,
I'm looking at you.
Hey, they like to just throw things at the wall and see what sticks, really.
They do. However, when it comes back to Michael B. Jordan and his win, I can honestly say it was a little kid. It was little kid Michael that got up there was like, look, and his, hey, mom, what's up? And he just cheesy grinned right down at his mom in the front row, which, oh my gosh, she is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But it was just a little kid up there being like, hey, mom, look, I got a gold star. Yeah, the principal likes me. And I was like, I love this man. Like,
first nomination and first win, which that surprised me. It's first nomination, but
it's because they're not going to give him a nom for a Marvel movie.
That's true.
They should have, though.
Honestly, yes. He was fantastic as Killmonger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when we had Creed, we're like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, you do this.
It's just because they're snobby and like, they're like, oh, but all this other thing around the performance we don't like. So, no. Which is dumb.
No. No. But kudos to the winners for the Oscars. We can't really give them monocles for the Oscars because it's other people that are voting on other people who are paying to be voting on other people. And we are not members of the Academy, so our opinions are our own.
But we're the members of the Filmosopher podcast, so we're our own society.
But before we wrap all this up, in the tradition of Eddie being here and springing a round table question on us, I have something to ask you guys. So Timothée Chalamet kind of put his foot in his mouth. He got that foot mouth disease where he made a comment basically saying that opera and ballet were struggling to maintain relevance.
I'm sorry. I saw that clip and it was hilarious.
I saw that clip back to back with when he was with the kombucha. I apologize to Brittany Broski. She's also known as a kombucha girl, but he had a whole like thing with her where they were out and he's just like, preserve the arts. Art is for everyone. Yeah. And then they put side by side and the next clip was just like, ballet and opera. I don't get it. And I'm like, what the heck happened to you?
Well, he was continually the entire night. He was the butt of every single joke. In Sinners, when they moved Misty Copeland to the front, he was in the front row. She was on the side with him, all up in his face. Like, it was every time. Everyone literally would like make a comment about opera or ballet and just look at him. Or they make a comment about live theater and they just look at him. And I was like,
or yes. Mari Supreme, because or whatever it's called, because they had in the orchestra, someone's like, oh, this is the, it's literally a physical butt getting hit by ping pong paddles. Like, not a physical butt, but like a.
It was like the Shalom or the Mardi Supreme drum, but basically.
A bum drum.
It was a bum drum. It was somebody in the orchestra was playing a booty with paddles.
Yeah. And don't worry. It wasn't a real booty.
But they did a bum roll instead of a drum roll. And
they looked straight at him.
They kept staring at him. And he knows. He knew.
He definitely, like, here's the thing. He knew even when he made the comment because Matthew McConaughey basically had a reaction of like,
Yes. And to anybody who thinks that that impacted Mardi Supreme losing as badly as they did, No, the voting had already been closed. So this boy just.
I think it was that opening scene that kind of made it. Anyways.
So. Timothée Chalamet made those remarks about opera and ballet, and he pissed off a large collection of folks to boot. So my question to you guys is, what movie do you think could make the transition from screen to stage as an opera or a ballet? And we already know Sinners is on the docket for that. So y'all don't get Sinners. You cannot
but
have
it's
it.
The easy it's one.
It's the one where we could be like, this sequence would look really good.
It's the easy one. Well, let's be honest. One that did transition to stage, which they could add more ballet elements because they have puppets, has been Studio Ghibli's Spirited Away and My Neighbor Totoro.
My question for you. Is this, so for the roundtable question, is this any movie?
Okay,
because I was limiting myself to the movies that were nominated or won this season.
Could you imagine a ballet of F1?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm Brad Pitt. I'm the aging driver. I know it was terrible, Spencer.
You
and
have
I'm so
the
glad
car
we're not-
for opera, and it's just like... molten.
No, I'm just imagining they bring in a car and just rev it while they're singing.
They have one person out the window just going,
Sorry, that was loud, you guys.
I'm very excited.
You're very excited. Okay. So do we need to give a little time so we can think about it?
Yeah.
All right. So... How do we fare? What do we think? What do we got? Do we got fun ones, terrible ones?
Okay, so while I would never disparage ballet or opera, I am also not someone who is very familiar with ballet or opera.
Okay.
So mine lean more to a jokey joke.
I'll take jokey joke.
And this is, I would like to see... an operatic version of Back to the Future now that they did the musical.
Spencer, that is amazing.
Because I feel like that Clock Tower Go Back in Time to the Future thing, that could be a good song.
I know you could definitely do that as a ballet. That would not be a problem. As an opera, I think that would be harder, but that would be so cool because just the opening theme in opera with an entire cast.
Oh, that'd be pretty nice.
Oh, I got some chills. Okay. That was really good. Sarah, how we doing?
Super. Like, knowing.
Are you Natalie Imbruglia? Okay? Are you torn?
Oh, at the seams.
Nothing's right, I'm torn. I get that joke in it, he's not here. He's going to cut it out later, isn't he?
I'm on editing. No, I do that. Chop.
Okay.
Sorry. I would like to see a ballet of The Wild Robot. Originally, I had a joke about hoppers and, you know, ballet has hopping in it. This is not to disparage or nothing against ballet. It is a beautiful art form. But I would love to see Wild Robot as a ballet with all the physical movements and also with nature. It's still also played for hoppers, too. Like, the elements of nature, wildlife, and the physical movement of it. But I'd more like to see Wild Robot for it. Oh, wow. Just to see the emotions the ballet dancers and whoever plays Roz has in portraying her on stage through the movement.
That, I think, might be my favorite one because it really, really does.
My joke one is Transformers 1 as a opera.
Transformers 1.
I'm looking at my letterbox.
Transformers 1, the animated one. Okay. I was my brain went to the first Transformers. I'm like, Wiki?
No. But that was Wiki.
Wiki. Those are really good. And the one I had come up with, which I felt like it was kind of a cop out, was The Boy and the Heron. As an opera, because we have a big hero's journey, so it would be a la Faust. But the problem is that's a lot of set changes, and it might work better as a musical, a la Les Miserables. But either way, I like your guys's best. Yeah, there I said it. Happened. What?
I was going to throw in Book of Clarence, but as a joke.
Not Book of Clarence as a joke.
Not that's Book of Clarence as a cloak. As a cloak?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I lost mine. I lost the one I was going to say as a joke. I'm ruined. I'm ruined. How can I come back from this?
Well,
Spider-Man.
Well, I guess it's
Sonic 2.
Oh, my Lanta. That about wraps up another episode. You see what's happening. This is why I'm not allowed to leave. So that wraps up another awesome episode of the Film Philosophers. Remember?
Yeah.
You can remember to check us out over at our website at filmphilosophers.com. There we do have over 300 episodes, actually over 400, everything from action, anime. Maybe we do have musicals in there, which kind of go that way. Suspense, thrills and chills. If you're looking for it, we've got it. And while you are over there, you can also check us out on our socials wherever our socials are, whether it's facebook.com/philosophers or on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at philosophy101. And we're over on that Instagram too, I think.
Blue Sky.
Blue Sky something, something, something.
Something, yes. Something, Blue Sky. Yes.
Philosophers podcast. Blue yes. Sky.
Blue Sky something, something.
We pushing Blue Sky. Please trust.
And Threads. But definitely over on Instagram, we do have a whole bunch of stuff that we post from time to time when I'm paying attention or when intern Sarah is allowed to on the socials.
I got the password.
Oh, that will.
I'm on editing. Well, we have Spencer's Big Score.
And Amy's Jen Unseen, which can be found at the only place it's ever lived, which is at Jane Unseen on Instagram and Instagram only. And guys, I'm failing. I'm really failing.
You're not failing. You are succeeding.
What new movie have you seen?
You are about to win an Oscar for Best Intern.
Managing Intern. We have an intern.
Hi.
Yeah. So. But you can also check us out wherever podcasts are streaming. That's iTunes, Libsyn, Player FM, Audio Boom, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, and iHeart, and Amazon Music. That's the one I forgot.
We're everywhere.
We pretty much are.
Whatever podcasts are streaming. Yes.
Sarah,
cut it out.
You can turn into your heart's desire to any one of those streaming platforms. Look for us there at The Filmphilosophers and give us a like or a subscribe or a 5-star review. And let us know what you thought. I know this was our first foray out without Eddie in a long bit, but we want to hear from you. So drop us some like comments or thumbs up or oh my lord, please don't let Amy ever do this again. But we would love to get a 5-star review from you because Lord knows we've earned it.
Yes, we have.
So we are excited for the rest of the year. This section of award season is over, but we know there are some more amazing films that are coming up. And with all that being said, I'm managing intern manager Amy.
I'm Spence.
I'm intern Sarah.
Class dismissed. Is that how we do this?
Yes, it is.
Class dismissed.
Class dispersed.
Ooh, that was...